Thank you. We gather together here in your name. We thank you for the relationships that are being developed and that have been developed. We thank you for the work that you are doing in each one of our lives. We pray that your Holy Spirit would work within us, that we would be challenged and directed by you today. Lord, we want to be obedient. We want our lives to be pleasing to you, and we give you permission. Do whatever you need to do within us. Speak in whatever way you need to speak to us today, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. The title of our message today is Proverbs and Generosity, or we could say God's People and Generosity. And I want to talk to you today some about giving and the principle of giving. And whenever a church starts to talk about giving, some of you guys cringe. Because you've been involved in churches before that whenever they talk about giving, it's because they're having a problem with their finances, right? You guys been there before? And they kind of think, well, we're struggling now financially. We better do a message on giving. Well, that is not us today. We don't have any financial problems. In fact, God has blessed us. We have more than what we need. We are in the middle of a building program on our East Campus, then we're going to do this here. And God has provided for all of that. So you're not going to hear that from me today. I'm not going to pass out pledge cards for you guys to pledge for a building drive at the end of this study. We want to look at the concept of generosity as God wants you and I to be generous, not just to ministries, but generous towards individuals that are in need. It's been pointed out in many sermons, offerings by television preachers and by radio guys that Jesus said as much about giving as he did about most other topics. I think, by the way, the most common topic that Jesus brought up was hell, which isn't that interesting? The Bible says that death and Hades are constantly before the eyes of the Lord. How much more the souls of men? God sees the destiny of men, so how much more does he care about the souls of each individual? But other than that, out of all the other topics, he says as much about giving as he does about any other topic. Their conclusion then is, because Jesus says that much about giving, is that God must want you to have money. God must want you to be rich. And Shazam, you want to be rich as well, right? And so you and God kind of agree on that. And of course, that ministry says, and we want to be rich, and the way that you guys get rich is by giving us money, which always cracks me up. They kind of, you know, come along and God wants you to be rich, and this is how you get rich, by giving money to me. And I have a thousandfold blessing, by the way. And I always think that's quite a conflict of interest. I might even respect them a little bit if they said find a place to give it, but oh no, they come back around and pass the Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets out. Here you go. I'm going to give you an opportunity to become rich right now by giving to us and what we are doing here. But I don't believe that Jesus said as much about giving because and about money because he wanted you to be rich. I believe that the reason that Jesus said as much about giving as he did is because you and I have problems with finances. You and I have problems with really, we focus in. So Jesus said, do not stack up treasures here on earth, but stack them up for yourself in heaven. He said, you can't serve God and money at the same time. You will end up hating one and loving the other. And we've seen that played out, haven't we? We've seen people who can't give up the concept of money and they end up loving that and hating God. You can't divide them, and Jesus knew that. He knew that we struggle in the area of finances with God, and so Jesus didn't want that to get in our way. The second reason I believe that Jesus said as much about giving as he did about any other topic is because God wants us to be generous. God is a generous God. Has God been generous to you? You know, it's overwhelming that as I asked that question in our studies this morning, the response that I've gotten from people all over is, oh man, yeah, God's been generous to me. And I'll confess to you guys right now, God has been more than generous to me. God has blessed me in so many ways and beyond anything that I can possibly imagine. And if God has been that generous to you, don't you want to be generous to people who are around you? Don't you want to see needs of people and be able to reach out to them and be generous? And you can be two kinds of a person. You can be a person that hoards and holds back. And if you ever give to someone that is in need, it's because it has been pried from your cold, dead fingers. Now you give to someone. Or it could be because you are a generous individual and you want to help someone. And the Lord has given us passages in the Bible to help us to understand how we can be generous, to appeal to our generosity. See, these guys that just are taking advantage of the church. They're just fleecing the flock. They use these verses. Given, it will be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You who sow sparingly will reap sparingly. You who sow bountifully will reap bountifully. They take those verses and they appeal to people's greed. If you give today to God, God's going to give to you. If you give $100 to God, God's going to give $1,000 back to you. You know, make a heavenly investment today. And they appeal to your greed. And so they are in those services or in those, you know, whatever it is, crusades or whatever they're doing. You say, wow, well, I'm going to give $100 today so I can get $1,000 back. God's going to make me rich, but first of all, I have to give my seed gift unto God that I can become rich. And they've appealed to your greed. And now you're giving God, you know, things out of greed. And do you think that God's going to honor you when you're giving to him out of greed? I even heard one of them say one time, it doesn't matter what your motive is in giving as long as you give. That's one of those where you go, where do you find that? You know, I've never read that. In fact, I read the opposite. See, God didn't give us those passages that I quoted about giving and receiving back from God. God did not give us those passages to appeal to your greed. You know why he gave them to us? To appeal to your generosity. God wanted to say, give, and I'll give back to you. Not out of your greed, but hey, don't worry about giving. Don't be afraid to give. Don't be afraid to be generous. You give and I'll give to you. And if you give bountifully, I'll give back to you bountifully. Press down, shaken together and running over. Men will give unto your bosom. God's going to give it to you because he wants us to be generous. He wants us to be like God. He doesn't give us those things to appeal to our greed so we can try to become rich, but to appeal to our generosity that we would be individuals that would open up and pour into the hearts and the needs of other people. Now, you should have your Bible open to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at verses 6 through 9. He says, but this I say, and I'll give you a minute to get there, if you haven't been there already. But this I say, that was a quick minute, I know. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Now God, I mean, if you're going to sow sparingly, if you're going to hoard what you have, if you're going to be greedy and not be generous, then God doesn't need to give a lot to you, right? Because you've hoarded it. So if you hoard it, God says, well, I don't got to give to you. So if you sow sparingly, God's going to give, you're going to reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Now that's a great phrase. Let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Every so often people will come to me and say, Pastor Robert, how much should I give? Listen, let me give you a bit of advice. Don't ask a preacher how much you ought to give. It's a very personal thing between you and God. And you need to purpose in your heart what you're going to give. And let me give you the context of this statement. Paul was going to Corinth to collect money from the Gentiles in Corinth to give to the impoverished Jewish people who had been exiled from their jobs because they accepted Jesus as their Messiah. They were Jewish people who had received Jesus as their Messiah, and they were ostracized from the Jewish community in Jerusalem. And so Paul was collecting money from the Gentile churches to bring back to the church in Jerusalem to help the people who were there. So it wasn't necessarily giving to a ministry per se. It was giving to people who were in need, people who had been impoverished because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And he says to them here, let each one give as he purposes in his mind. You make a decision before God how much you can give. Someone says, well, can I tithe 5%? I always say no, because tithing is 10%. That's what the word tithe means, is 10%. But if you want to give 5% to the Lord, well, then give it. Pray about it, determine it, and give it. You want to give 1%, pray and determine and give it. You want to give 20%, pray and determine and give it. But it's between you and God. You make the decision. And don't let anyone manipulate you. Don't let anyone guilt you, but make a decision before God and purpose in your heart what you're going to give. But a couple of things God says, not grudgingly. God doesn't want you to give grudgingly. He doesn't want you to come to the church, I purposed I was going to give $100 today, and there it is. I could go to P.F. Chang's, and now I got to give the money here to the church, you know. And I've always said, if you give grudgingly, and after you give it in, you want it back, hey, just let us know. We'll give it back to you. Now, you got to be able to prove you gave the money, all right? We're not just going to give it back to you. Somebody comes and says, I gave $200 cash. Can you give it back to me? No. But if you can prove you gave the money, then we'll give it back to you. He goes on to say here, not grudgingly or of necessity. See, sometimes these guys that appeal to your greed with these scriptures, and it's so wrong for them to do that. But these guys that appeal to your greed, here's what they say. You're poor or you're going to be poor because you're not given. And if you don't give, see, they scare people. If you don't give, you're going to be poor. If you want to be rich, then you've got to give now. And so you end up giving to God out of necessity. Don't give to God out of necessity. If you feel like I have to give this morning, then don't give it. Hold it back. God doesn't want you to give that way. God didn't want you to go, here you go, God, there's my money. I have to give it to you now. There, God didn't want that. God wants us to give. What does it say here? For God loves a cheerful giver. God wants us to come and say, Lord, here it is. This is what I have, and this is what I've given to you, and I'm helping these people out over here, and I'm giving to the church here, and I'm giving to this ministry that's over here because I want to, because it's something that I enjoy to do. And if you can't do that, then don't do it. That's what it's saying. In Luke 6:38, Jesus spoke and said this. He said, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Again, he's not telling us that to appeal to any greed that we have, but to appeal to our generosity, saying, I am going to give back to you when you give. Now, some of you here today may feel like you can't give. You may say, you know, I don't have very much. If I was going to give you, you know, out of what I have, be able to give, I'd give a dollar today. Or if I was going to help someone who was poor, I could only give them a dollar because I don't have much. And how much is a dollar going to go for paying the electric bill around here? Well, not very much, I'll guarantee you that. But that doesn't matter. How much it helps or what percentage you are involved in the ministry around here is not what matters to God. Let me give you an example. Every week I get, different letters and little cards and stuff people have put in the Agape box that are directed to me. Just different statements that they want or things they would like me to pray about with you. And they get put on my desk on Tuesday morning when I come into the office. And this particular Tuesday I came in and there was a small envelope. And I opened up the envelope and it was just a little note from a child, from a kid, that said, thank you, Pastor Robert, for being my pastor. My mommy really likes you. Something like that was on the note. And then inside of the envelope, there was a nickel that the child had given to God. And just like you're touched by that, because I hear the, aw, 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 I was touched by it. That child, you know, got their nickel out and put it in there and gave it to God. Do you think that God says, how much is that going to go towards the electric bill? God isn't saying that at all, is he? God is moved by what that child has given. And I remember taking it into our accounting office and saying, you need to put this with the offering this week because that's why it was given, that they could be a part of what's doing here, that they could give that money to God. See, God doesn't care about how much you give. Jesus was watching people put money in the treasury box. You remember? In the temple, he's watching people put it in. And there in Luke 21 and verse 1, it says, and he looked up and he saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. He looked up and he saw the rich and wondered what they did. You know, the Bible talked about some of them blowing a trumpet before they gave. You know, and now I'm giving this much money to God. And they'd put it in. So people would go, ooh, wow, look how much they gave. And Jesus said, you've received your reward. Instead, when you give, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing, so your Father who sees you in secret can reward you openly. It's a very private thing between you and God, but God's going to reward you openly for that which you give. So he's watching the rich people put their money in the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in 2 mites. That's less than a penny. So he said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those, for out of their abundance having put in offerings in for God, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had. Jesus said that which she gave was more in the sight of God. See, it's not a matter of how much you can give or how much help it will be if you give what you give. It's a matter of what it means to you and your heart as you give it unto the Lord. Now, as we go to Proverbs now to take a look at these passages that speak to us about giving, a couple of things that I want to point out. And go to Proverbs chapter 3. That's where we're going to start. Proverbs 3, we'll start in verse 9. A couple of things I want to point out about these passages here in the book of Proverbs. Number one, there's a mix of a couple of things. There are proverbs that speak about giving to God, giving to the work of God. And there are proverbs that speak about giving to the poor. And there are more of them that speak about giving to the poor than there are those speaking about ministries. One of the things that we're going to see as we make our way through Proverbs is that God wants us to have an eye for those who are struggling. God wants us to have an eye and a heart of compassion for those who are poor and who need help. And we can make all kinds of excuses. We can say, Well, you know what? If they would go out and get a job, then they wouldn't need any money, which falls into the no duh category, by the way. We could say, you know, they're just going to take the money if I give it to them. You stand on a street corner with a sign that says, you know, we'll work for food or whatever it is. God bless you or whatever they write on the outside of it. You know, hungry, need something. You could say they're just going to buy a pack of cigarettes or they're just going to buy alcohol with it, so I ain't going to give to them. But you know what? I don't know that that's your business. Whether what you know what they buy with it, you're giving out of a heart to help them. And how do you know that they're not going to do it? Something happened a couple of years ago in our city, in Tucson, the city proper. In the county, it isn't this way, but in the city proper, it is. They made it illegal to stand in the mediums. You remember that? And hold up those signs. So you can't stand in a medium in the city. They do in the county. This particular facility, by the way, is in the county. And so on some of these streets, you'll see people doing that. But in the city, you can't do it. When I heard that they did that, I had mixed feelings. Did you? Part of me said, good. Because, you know, I'm just like you. I'm driving down the road, you pull up to the place there, and there's the guy holding the sign. You're kind of like, right? Maybe you're even eating your cheeseburger while you're, you want my cheeseburger, you know? Guy's holding the sign hungry, you know, and watching you eat your cheeseburger, and you're like, so part of me said, good, because I feel uncomfortable there, don't you? I feel uncomfortable, and I don't want to feel uncomfortable. But part of me also said, is it right that we take the poor in our community and push them aside so we can't see them? Is it right that we push them out of sight to where we can't help them out at all? And so for you and I, and it's not that way around the world, by the way. If you go on mission trips or you travel, you find that as you go out, you see the poor. You deal with the poor in different cultures and different communities. The poor are there. And it's not that way, but it is with us. And so if you're going to be able to give to the poor in our community, in our city, most likely you're going to have to go looking for it. Most likely you're going to have to say, I need to find a place that I can give the money to, maybe a ministry that reaches out to the poor, maybe some way that you can say, you know, that you're going to be able to find someone who's struggling, or maybe somebody that you know who knows somebody who's really going through a difficult time financially, and you want to be able to help them out. You're going to have to really go out of the way in our community to find them, because in Solomon's time, as he wrote the Proverbs, they were everywhere. You couldn't walk down the street without having a beggar that was missing some legs or something, that was sitting on the side of the street or blind or not able to work, that you would be able to have compassion on. That was a very, very, there were a lot of ways that they could follow through with what they were reading here. So let's start, first of all, in chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. And this speaks of giving to the Lord, by the way. It says, honor the Lord with your possessions. It's not honor the Lord with your money, but honor the Lord with your possessions. In other words, even what you possess with the money that you've been given really belongs to God. And you are to honor God with everything, your home, your house, your cars, whatever it is. God, it's yours. Honor God with your possessions and with the first fruits of all of your increase. Our attitude in giving ought to be to give God out of the first fruits of our lives. We might take our paycheck, pay all the bills, do everything we want to do, and then go, well, that's what I got left for you, God. God doesn't want us to approach him in that kind of an attitude. We are to pray about what we're going to give and give it up front and then do what we need to do afterwards. That's the concept of the first fruit. When you had a harvest, let's say you have an apple orchard. You have a harvest. You would get your first bushel of apples. They'd carry it down to the temple and they would give it to God as an offering, saying, God, here's the very first bushel that I picked out of this, and thank you so much for the harvest that you've given me. It's a concept of bringing God the very first and saying, I trust you. It goes on to say in verse 10, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. God says, honor me in the first fruits and I'm going to take care of you and you're going to be blessed. Go on to chapter 11 now, verse 24. Proverbs 11, 24. It says, there is one who scatters yet increases more, and there is one who withholds more than is right, and it leads to poverty. He's talking about sowing seeds. There's one who scatters. God has given you finances. You scatter those finances, and it increases more. It's like planting seeds that grow up, and you're able to receive from it. But there's also one who hoards, and it leads to poverty. He goes on to say in verse 25, the generous soul will be made rich. He doesn't say the generous soul will be financially rich. See, he's talking about the soul. How does a soul become rich? A soul doesn't become rich by gaining a lot of money. A soul becomes rich by getting everything that it needs from God. Read it again. The generous soul will be made rich. God will give you riches in who you are when you are generous. And he who waters will also be watered himself. As you go out and you water with the things of God, then God also waters you. Look at verse 28 of the same chapter. He who trusts in his riches will fall. But the righteous will flourish like foliage. When you trust in riches, you fall. Riches will, make themselves wings and they will go away. But God will remain. And where you might be able to take care of certain things, money can't take care of everything. And so you must trust in God rather than riches. Chapter 16, verse 16. How much better to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. God says it's better for you to grow in wisdom and better for you to grow in understanding than to grow in money, than to gain silver and to gain gold. That's not what our world says. Does our world have a greater value on wisdom and understanding or on gold and silver? Certainly it's on gold and silver, but God says it's more important for you to have understanding and to gain wisdom than to grow in money. Look at chapter 19, verse 17. Now, I love this verse. Chapter 19, verse 17. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what has been given. Again, God's appealing to your generosity. He's saying it's okay to give to the poor. When you give to the poor, even though you might be struggling yourself, God says you're lending to me and I'm going to pay you back. God wants us to have a heart that is for those that are in need. And you know what I found, by the way, as I speak about this? I found that the church really does. You know, last year when there was the hurricanes that went through Louisiana, parts of Texas and Florida, and the churches across the United States were challenged to help people who were in need. You know, I heard that the churches in the United States gave more in the first month to help relieve than the government actually gave. And that people went down there. People went down. There were teams. You couldn't go down into those areas without finding some church that had sent down a team that was cleaning up a yard of somebody who was just, you know, their house was torn up. And they were just there helping them out in any way that they could. There is a great generosity in the hearts of God's people, and I believe it's put there by God. And I believe you guys are generous. Every time we've asked you to help in a situation like that, you guys have responded in generous ways. So in verse 17, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord. Then go to chapter 21, verse 13. Whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. There's an underlining principle that you find in the Bible, that the way that you treat people is the way that God treats you. If you're merciful, God's merciful. The way that you judge people is the way God judges you. If you're forgiving, then God's going to forgive you. And here, if you open your heart, your ears to the cry of the poor, God says, when you're in need, I'm going to listen to your cry. Go to chapter 22, verse 9. He who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. I read in an earlier service, and he gives to his beard to the poor, and I couldn't figure out why he gives his beard to the poor, but he gives of his bread to the poor. So when you have a generous eye, you are blessed. Then look at chapter 23, verses 4 and 5. Do not overwork to be rich. Now listen, you got to work. The Bible says that if a man doesn't provide for his family, he is worse than an infidel, worse than an ungodly person. Now, what does that mean? It's saying that a man's job, a man's role in his family is to provide for his family. And if a man doesn't provide for his family, it'd be better for his family to have an infidel who actually did provide for his family. That's what that scripture's saying, that, you know, a man who doesn't provide for his family is worse than an infidel. It's got to provide. So you got to work. You got to look out for the interest of your family. You got to look out for your own interest, but not only for your own interest. But then there's a point where you say, I'm not working to provide anymore. I'm working to be rich. I'm putting in all of these extra hours so that I can be rich. That's what this is talking about. It says, do not overwork to be rich. Because of your own understanding, cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? You think you're gaining something, but you're not. For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle towards heaven. You know, God could allow something to happen in your life that would zap all of what you have. Or you can trust in God and say, God, I know you're going to take care of me. in the future, and God will take care of you. My wife showed me a passage in Chronicles. I think it's Chronicles 25, where King, I think it's Amaziah, hires the army of Israel to battle for him. Now, Amaziah is the king of Judah. Remember, there was a divided kingdom, the northern and southern kingdoms in those days. And Amaziah is the king of Judah, and he hires the army of Israel. And God comes to him and says, I don't want you to have Israel go and fight for you because I'm not with them now. They weren't serving and following God at the time, and God says, I'm not with them, and I don't want them fighting for you. And Amaziah says, what about the money that I paid them? And God says, can't I give you so much more? See, sometimes we are so caught up in the money, we're so caught up in what we've got to make, and perhaps even dads overworking to the neglect of your family, to the neglect of your children or your wife, and you're saying, but I've got to have this money. And God says, can I give you more? Couldn't I bless you in ways that you could possibly never even begin to understand? Don't ever say, what about the money? God can always take care of you. God, it's far better to trust in riches. And if you're overworking to be rich, just says, cease, according to your own understanding. In other words, stop it. That's all it's saying. It's great advice from the scriptures. You're overworking to be rich, stop. All right, verse chapter 28, verse 17, and this is the last one that we have. And it's a great one for us to stop with. Chapter 28, verse 27. He who gives to the poor will not lack, but he who hides his eyes will have many curses. He who gives to the poor will not lack. Again, God leaning on our generosity, that we would be able to say, I want to be able to give. God is such a generous God towards us. He has been generous in so many ways. And in 1 John, it says that we are to be imitators of God. And if we're imitators of God, then we're not going to be greedy. We're not going to be selfish. We're going to, as it says in Philippians chapter 2, not only look out for our own interests, but also look out for the interests of others in being able to reach out and help them. Now, I've noticed something about studies like this. I've noticed that God generally has a tendency to test us within the next couple of days after a study like this. So right now, you're listening to it and you're going, you know what? The next opportunity I have to help somebody out financially that's in need, I'm going to do it. And then Monday morning, when you have that opportunity, you're going to go, okay, here it is. I believe that God will test us. I believe that God will give us opportunities. And as I said earlier, if you're going to reach out to those who are in need, you're going to have to go out of your way to do it. Generally, in our city, particularly, per se, you're going to have to go out of your way to be able to do that. You're going to have to find a way that you can say, I want to take some of what God's given me, some of the blessings that God has given me, and I want to give it to those who are struggling and those who are poor. What an absolute blessing. You know what it's like. I know what it's like to struggle. I know what it's like to barely make ends meet. I know what it's like not to be able to make ends meet. You guys know what that's like? Every one of you do, don't you? Almost every one of you. There's very few of us here that have been so blessed our whole life that we haven't had any struggles at all. And when someone is really in need and doesn't know where the next meal is coming from, what a blessing for us to be able to say, I want to help you out by buying you some tuna fish or whatever it might be that really makes a difference in their lives. You just didn't expect that, did you? That was the last thing you expected right there. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we want to thank you. We are so encouraged by you today. We know that as so many television evangelists and preachers and fundraisers and even churches and building programs have appealed to the greed of people, give and you'll get rich, or give and God's going to give back to you. And we know that's not why you gave these verses. You didn't give them to appeal to our greed. You gave them to us to appeal to our generosity. You want to let us know that it's okay to give. It's okay to be generous. You're going to do so many things through us. Lord, we pray now that your Holy Spirit would fall upon us. Direct us and lead us and give us opportunities to be able to bless the people who are around us. We thank you for what you're doing. We also pray for the relationships that we are developing here in this place. We pray that they would abound more and more, even as Paul prayed in Colossians, and that we would develop real, lasting relationships with one another. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd also like you to ask to keep